Hey, everybody, Rob here. Just want to take a quick moment and thank all of our listeners who used our links for Amazon.com and Amazon.ca this holiday season. It does really mean a lot to me that you guys take the time to remember to use the links, and it is certainly appreciated by yours truly. So thanks again. Hope you enjoy our Best of 2015 special. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's coming to you for the final time in 2015, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Rob Has a Podcast. We are going to be bringing you some of my favorite moments from 2015 on RHAP. So, really looking forward to this. I have been asking around for the last couple of weeks between you guys on the different podcasts in the comment section of, I put up a post for the Best of 2015. I've been polling the patrons, asking around what were some of your favorite clips. And I didn't do anything super scientific in terms of a vote, just sort of like asking people what were some of their favorite moments from the year, and then going back and listening to the clips and seeing what was the best things to pull. I had a lot of help from Alex Kidwell, who went through and pulled a couple of clips for me along the way. So very excited for you guys to hear a number of the selections that we picked out here for you today. Not a list. I couldn't really bring it to a countdown of this was the number 7 moment, this was the number 1 moment. So we're going to go chronologically through the year of 2015 on Rob Has a Podcast, and it was a really great year on Rob Has a Podcast. I wanted to thank you guys who have been with us all year long, and so many of you guys who found us over the course of 2015, and we look forward to doing more and more shows in 2016. But we had really fun seasons of Survivor to cover, from everything from Survivor Worlds Apart, and then of course the big Survivor campaign to send people back into Survivor Second Chance, and everything with Big Brother and The Amazing Race, and then coming back to actually see the Second Chance season of Survivor this fall, and then everything going down the stretch to where we are now. A very, very fun year on the podcast, and I look forward to going into everything with you guys. Hope everybody had a great holiday, enjoyed some time off from work, hopefully a very safe New Year's Eve coming up this week. So let me talk you through how this is going to work. I'm going to be setting up each of these clips, and then we'll go back and listen, and then we'll come back and talk about what we just heard and a little bit of setup for the next one here today on the Best of 2015 special. So my first clip that we're going to play comes to us from January of 2015. And of course, we were on the heels of Survivor San Juan del Sur and the big win from Natalie Anderson. Of course, after the season is over, I always like to sit down with the winner and do a really deep dive into how they won and how they got to that point. Of course, we will be speaking with Jeremy Collins at some point. Of course, Jeremy just had his baby boy only last week, so giving Jeremy a little bit of time to decompress from the season and spend time with his baby. But we will talk with him certainly during this offseason and do a similar podcast with him to the one we did with his buddy, his unofficial twinny, Natalie Anderson, when she won the game a year ago. And it was a very long interview. It was about almost 3 hours that we talked with Natalie on January 14th of 2015. And towards the end of the interview, we started talking about something that her good buddies from the season, Baylor and Missy, were going to begin doing, that they were deciding that they were going to show up, or just show up, at people's birthday parties if they got invited. And here is me talking with Natalie about Baylor and Missy deciding to just show up. Here's something that I need you to help me out with. All right. So you mentioned at the top of the show that you don't give your address out like Missy and Baylor.
Okay. Yeah.
So Missy and Baylor, your good friends from the show, are doing something. They're having a contest, right? You know about this?
Yeah, I know about this.
Okay. So I don't know if a lot of people know about this, and we've never talked about this on the show. And I actually got an email from Missy recently, and she asked if I would help get the word out about this. And that's what I do.
Okay, I don't know if I want to condone this type of behavior because I really don't get it. And I asked Missy, and I straight up text Bella. I was like, what in the F are you doing? Are you crazy? Yeah. Like, I was like, are you crazy? And she's like, no, it's going to be awesome. I was like, whatever. I don't want any part of it. But
all right, well, let me set this up, and then I want to get your take on this. All right, so I'm going to play a YouTube clip.
That, oh, my God, no.
Missy,
way. Not-
Missy and Baylor, they are having a contest, and not like a contest like on Seinfeld. They're having a contest for a birthday contest. All right, so here's Missy and Baylor explaining the contest.
Hey, Survivor fans. My birthday's coming up, and we love birthdays so much. Roger that we are yours. Oh. So write us a letter and tell us how we can make your birthday better. And we'll just show up.
Whoa! Hold on a second. So everybody has a birthday. So yeah. When your birthday is coming up, Missy and Baylor love birthdays. Roger that, right?
Yes.
Fans, my birthday's coming up, and we love birthdays so much. Roger that.
Roger that.
Oh, my God. Okay? That makes me want to vomit, the fact that she said roger that, because that's so cute. Like, Missy can't pull it off, and I love Missy, but she cannot pull it off. Like, stop it.
So much. Roger that.
No, you need to stop, Rob. Stop it right now.
So if you have a birthday, then you have to write, according to the contest, and of course, you could read the full contest rules at missbayworld.tumblr.com. That's Miss Bay, as in...
Love you, Bay.
...world.
Do this. But listen, this is insane. The fact that they are publicly putting their... I hope it's not their real address, but I think it is, because she took a picture of like her mailbox, like getting mail, and she put it on Instagram. So I don't know. The cast talked about us all submitting letters and like having them come to one of our birthdays as a joke. And yeah.
Well, Missy said I should enter because they'll come to my birthday. And so that you just have a birthday party and then Missy and Baylor show up.
But isn't that stupid? Because then it doesn't become about you. Like, why would I want two random reality freaks coming to my birthday and taking the shine away from me?
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Yeah, get in the back seat. It's Missy's
it's
party
not your
now.
Birthday. It's my party now. Yeah, no. It's weird. But bless their hearts. People from the South like to say that. So I'm just going to say that. I'm going to say bless their hearts.
Yeah.
And we love birthdays so much. Roger that.
Yeah. So they're coming to the birthday party, somebody's birthday party. Missy and Baylor are going to crash it.
Apparently, they want to do it every month. That's what
every month.
That's what I was told right from the source.
Are they mistaken that actually Missy did win the season and they have $1 million to spend?
Yeah, I don't ask me. I have no answers. I'm just telling you what they told me.
Well, I mean, what I really want to do is that we have coming up in March, and I know people want to know if you are coming or not, but we're doing the live know-it-alls in New York City on March 11th. You're coming, right?
Yeah, you told me you're going to hook me up.
I'm
going to
get
ticket.
You on the list.
Okay,
and
cool.
It's actually Josh Wiggler's birthday that night. I want to write in a letter and get Missy and Baylor to come to Josh Wiggler's birthday party.
Josh Wiggler is the guy I talked to on the red carpet.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, and so I want to get right in for his birthday to have Missy and Baylor come.
I mean, you go ahead and do that. That would be awesome if they come.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
I would rather Baylor, like, I love Siki's situation. I would rather just Baylor do a free concert somewhere for her fans or something.
No, they're coming to somebody's birthday party.
So much. Roger that.
That makes me want to gag.
So, write us a letter and tell us how we can make your birthday better. And we'll just show up.
You're torturing me now.
Yeah, that still cracks me up. I love how she's getting really frustrated that I keep playing the clip, but the whole thing is just so ridiculous how Baylor and Missy are going to show up at people's birthday parties. I think they've since stopped showing up at people's birthday parties. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything recently, but I don't think that is still a thing that is ongoing, but still a very funny clip to listen to. All right. So shifting gears a little bit, going ahead a bit into 2015, Nicole and I did a big campaign during podcast award season where we did a thing called the Road to the Podcast Awards. And I think we probably did, 17 or 18 days, or maybe it was even 21 days straight of here's a daily podcast reminding people to vote for the podcast awards. Of course, Robin's the Podcast was nominated for the People's Choice Podcast of the Year, which we did ultimately win at the Podcast Awards in April, which was a very big thrill and a big moment in 2015. But I feel like the crown jewel of the Road to the Podcast Awards campaign season was when we did a parody of one of the podcasts that we were competing against, which was Serial. And we were both nominated for the Podcast of the Year at the People's Choice Podcast Awards. So this was something that I put together on the final day of voting with our good buddy Amy H. from the Bachelor Rehap-Up Show, which is going to be coming back into season next week. Here is, from March of 2015, our Serial parody.
Hi, I'm Amy. A Rob Has a Podcast listener and concerned voter. For the last 22 days, I've listened to an ex-reality star answer voicemails on what he's calling the Road to the Podcast Awards. But my voicemail submissions went unanswered, leaving me with only more questions and my daily votes uncast. When not listening to podcasts, I've spent every waking moment reading tweets, comments from listeners, even listening to podcasts that review other podcasts, all in an effort to decide, does he deserve my vote? Does he deserve yours? With so many podcasts to choose from, is he really the best overall? With only one day left for voting, I had to get out of this maddening cycle of doubt. All that was left was to talk to Rob himself. Even though he's fixed in one spot 24/7, getting only about 15 minutes of outside time a day, it was surprisingly difficult to get him on the phone. But eventually he wanted to make his case to me and other undecided voters, in his own words. Here, I present excerpts from our conversation.
So, Rob, as you know, I'm just really torn about how I should vote. And there was a podcast that reviews podcasts that gave you zero earbuds. Is that really something? You understand why I'm grappling with this.
I know. People always bring up the thing about the earbuds. Podcasting is like such a subjective thing. And I don't know, man. I can't speak to why they would say that about the podcast, but all I know is about what I'm doing, and I'm not even trying to think about what other people are saying
about. What would you tell the voters? You've been doing these weekly podcasts. What would you tell them about why they should vote if you're not caring about other podcasts? They shouldn't listen to other reviews.
Well, I just think that people need to just look at the work that we've done and look at the things that I've done and I put out there, and just trust and believe in your heart of what you think is the right thing to do. And don't just go by what other people say or what other people hear or what other people say about the podcast, and just, vote with, the way that they truly believe in their heart.
Several people, who asked not to be identified by name, told me the main reason they were voting for Rob was because of a YouTube video he recently posted. A behind the scenes, a day in the life, you might call it. Hardest working guy in podcasting, a listener I'll call Benjamin told me. It's something Rob himself is quite proud of, but I wanted to dig a little deeper.
Well, another thing I know you've told me about is, and the thing that you did for your viewers is you did the behind the scenes video. I've heard a lot of people say that was really compelling. It's impossible for anyone else to do that kind of content. Is that what you're hoping people will look to?
Yeah, I just feel like the amount of content that I put out on a given day, that people would sort of look at it and say, wow, Rob is working really hard, that he made all these podcasts in a certain amount of time between from when an episode of TV was on to the next day. And they sort of could look at it and say, well, I think I should give this guy my vote on the podcast award because he did something I don't think anybody else could try to do or want to do.
So you don't think anybody else could do that level of TV watching, recording, producing in the
month? Yeah, I just think it would be I think it would be really, really hard to do because, you know, these days that, you know, the show gets out and then it's, you know, really hectic and it's really crazy and you gotta like wait for the show to finish airing and that takes a certain amount of time. And I just don't think that you could do everything that I got done in a certain amount of time and have everything go up in a certain amount of time and sleep.
So I have something that I've been hesitant to bring it up with you. It's going to be really hard for you to hear, I think, but a friend and I, we wanted to really check out this claim because I agreed with you. It sounded, you know, I saw the video. It was really compelling. I didn't think anybody could do it, but I don't know how to say this. We retraced your steps. I went to Best Buy. I got all the, I got a laptop. I got a mic. I got all the equipment we need, and I walked a dog, I played with a baby, and I recorded a simulation of Survivor Know-It-Alls. I did an exit interview, and let's see, I have to tell you, we were able to get it all done. You can check with my assistant, but I did it all in under 24 hours, and I think it was pretty comparable.
You did all that stuff that did... exit interview?
I knew this would be a difficult subject to bring up, but there's something that was bothering me about someone from Rob's past who I felt was still affecting his present. Rob, I talked to Jay.
I'm not interested in what Jay has to say. I just feel like that it's irrelevant to me what his
How can
opinion
you say
is.
It's like, irrelevant? I mean, he's a key player really in this. I mean, isn't it true that... Yeah.
I don't think he's a player at all.
I thought there was some feud going on. Isn't it true that your wife is attracted to him? You're jealous? That's what he told
me. I'm not talking about a feud with Jay Byers. He was the Price is Right. Not the feud. Not the feud.
We really worked for a long time on that. I'm really happy how it came out. Amy, of course, did a really great job. That's about maybe a little less than half of the whole thing. The whole thing is probably about 14 minutes long. If you want to hear that directly, you can go to robiswebsite.com/RHAP serial. And also all of the episodes that we talk about here in this clip show are going to be available in the podcast page. If you go to robiswebsite.com/best of 2015. I'll put all the links to these clips that we're talking about in that page if you want to listen to the full episodes of these podcasts. All right, so let's jump ahead just a little bit into the Survivor Worlds Apart season, into our recap podcast for episode 8 back on April 10th, 2015. That was a podcast where I spoke with Sophie Clark, and she had some very interesting insight, as she always does. Looking forward to getting her back on the podcast in Survivor 32. But in the voicemail section of that podcast, I spoke with Mixmaster Mike Bloom. And one of the things that we talked about on the voicemail shows was how Haley Ford, one of the contestants in that season, if you can remember that far back, she had made a video where she was rapping about corporations, and she also loved the Constitution, and it was a fun time to have a little bit of fun with Haley's freestyle rap. So as an extra credit project, Mike Bloom attempted his first ever freestyle rap on RHAP on April 10th, 2015. I have an extra credit project for you.
Oh boy. All right. Bring it on. Hopefully this will make up for the match game stuff.
Now, you've done such a great job on the voicemails. I would like to know if do you have a rap song in you for extra credit?
Well, in ninth grade, I did get an A on my school project for Julius Caesar, where I did a rap parody of Lean Back by Fat Joe. So hopefully I can channel that inner ninth grader in me and see if I can come up with something.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Here is, can we drop a beat for Mike Bloom? What's your rap name, by the way?
How about MC Blizzard? MC Bloomizzard.
Bloomizzard. Okay. Here is MC Bloomizzard. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Dirty 30. Here we go. My blue miser in the house. Here we go. Three decades of Survivor. That's so crazy. Look at Will. Hey, he might be lazy. I don't know, considering he's a no-collar. But I know one thing. He won't win $1 million. Dan's saying offensive things. He don't like women. But I'm sure he likes criminals. Criminals. That's what Haley studies. Thinking about the books and lots of buddies. Buddies like Jen, who gets stung by bees. Don't talk about her, because she's got scarred knees. Shireen's walking around watching monkeys have sex. And Vince is walking around putting people in hexes. Joe's got long hair. He's pretty cool. I don't know if he went much to Survivor school, but he knows how to count. Not like Dan. Something I'm going to tell you, though, the winner is a man. Not to say anything against women, because they're cool, too. I like Carolyn. She's got cool shoes. Yeah, yeah. Survivor 30.
Wow.
Prototypical.
Very prototypical.
Oh, my God. All right.
Give it up for Mike Blue.
Wow. I'll accept all record offers after this podcast.
Wow. Man, I hope that Chase Rice was listening. He'd sign you to his label.
So maybe I can do like the rap interludes in his country songs. I can be the Ludacris to his Justin Bieber.
Yes. Oh, wait. Actually, it turns out, yeah, I was periscoping this whole thing. It's Jim Rice was listening. Jim Rice wants to sign you to his label.
I can do... Red hair, don't care. Cochran is smaller than a bear. That's going to be my interlude.
Very impressive job by Mike Bloom. And I really did just spring that on him. He did not have any sort of warning about what we were going to be doing or that I was going to ask him to rap to the Haley Ford song. So really great job by Mike, and looking forward to talking with Mike much more in 2016. Now, somebody else who I will speak to quite a bit in 2016 is the guy that we actually started doing our own weekly episode of Rob as a Podcast with him, David Bloomberg. He was my guest on the voicemails back on April 30th, 2015. It was the 11th episode of Survivor Worlds Apart, where Shireen had been voted off. And it was an episode that featured an immunity challenge in which Dan Foley was giving a lot of encouragement to Rodney. And we had a lot of fun playing those sound clips on the episode. And we ended up doing a little bit of a remix with another familiar tune that you may have heard before on the podcast. This is me talking with David Bloomberg back on April 30th, 2015. Now, do you have a hashtag for this part of the show?
Oh.
Let's see. It's got to be something from this, right?
And we are now down to two men.
Yeah. He may need it, but you want it. You want it, baby.
How about you want it, baby?
I'm afraid at what that hashtag would be.
You want it, baby?
I am kind of worried at who might already be using that hashtag. Let's see here.
Let's see. Well, I suspect that maybe if we look at who might be using it.
No, there's nothing there.
Yeah. Actually, let me. I think that maybe this might be the masterpiece, the master jam.
And we are now down to two men.
He may need it, but you want it. You want it, baby.
Both guys are feeling it. That we know.
Should do the shoulders. I love it.
Dan giving Rodney a lot of encouragement.
Dedication, motivation, baby. Huh?
Rodney's bag dropping a little more.
Stretch him out. Take a second. Oh, yeah.
Sweat dripping off both guys. Rodney working on that grip. Rodney's still in this.
Come on, baby. He's twitching, dude. He's twitching. You got it, baby. You got it. Angel, move your shoulder.
Rodney going back down into that crouch. Looking for some relief somewhere. Gotta dig in now.
Just focus. Dig in and hold.
Rodney's straining, giving everything he has.
Yeah.
I bet you could do a Tidy Whitey's remix also, but
I'll
leave that to Lisi.
Yeah, I looked up the hashtag for "You Want It, Baby," and we don't want it.
Okay, we don't. Yeah, we don't. Yeah. How about "We Don't Want It, Baby"?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's the hashtag. We don't want it, baby.
Okay.
I haven't been that safe. We don't want it, baby. Oh my god, yeah. That Dan is a boy. he could take us to such heights and bring us to such lows with what he has to say. All right, David, great job, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, take care. And definitely a fun moment back with that challenge with the Freak from Bryce Isaiah, the first track dropped by the Purple Pants Badass. We just had his second track drop on us last week on the podcast, which you could check out if you haven't heard that. So it's the end of April, and all of a sudden, we are now going to get an announcement in the first couple days of May coming up here, where they are announcing, we sort of heard through the rumor mill what was going on. Survivor Second Chance is a thing, and that set into motion a period where 32 people were vying to get back onto the show, and of those 32 people, I think I interviewed 28 of them total. It was probably the craziest couple of weeks of the year, really, from the beginning of May till like the second or third week of May, where we had everything coming up with the finale. And it was just the wildest, most fun month of podcasting that I've had in the almost 6 years of Rob Has a Podcast. And I could probably come up with like 30 different clips that were highlights from all the Second Chance interviews. But this is one that really stands out in my mind. This is when Jeff Varner, who was a lot of fun when he ultimately did get onto the show, called in. It was probably like the second or third of these interviews that I ultimately did. And Jeff Varner brought in an old friend from the Kucha tribe to help campaign for him in our Road to Second Chances interview series. Here is Jeff Varner with a special appearance from Deb Eaton on May 9th, 2015.
So all the Deb fans out there should vote for me, right?
Every one of them. You should vote more than once. Just keep right on voting.
Every day. Think about every day. Deb, awesome. Will you be endorsing Kimmy also to go back to Survivor?
Is she trying to go back?
She's in the mix. She's also nominated to go back.
Wow. No, I'm not endorsing anybody else.
Good answer, Jeff.
You got to understand, this was a long time ago. I don't even, other than Jeff, I don't talk to anybody. And I only talk to Jeff because he's just like a pesky little gnat. He just keeps coming back. It was just a long time ago. A long time ago.
All right. So you don't care if Kimmy goes back?
No, I don't. And I don't even know why she'd want to go back, because you know they're going to kill something.
Yeah.
To freak her out. So she'd be better off not going back. And that's another reason why I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back and watch people kill things, especially octopus, because they're very, very intelligent.
Okay.
Octopus.
Jeff, will you kill an octopus if you go back?
I'll kill whatever I have to eat, but that's just odd that octopus came out of nowhere.
I don't know. Well, the reason I say that is because they've had a lot of stuff on the news about it lately, about just how intelligent they are and how they're curious and smart, and they have senses of humor, and they're like a little person, only they're an octopus. And
if you
want to kill one, I don't know. I may have to withdraw my endorsement.
Yeah, no, never.
Will you promise here today that if you go on, if you get voted back on, you will not eat an octopus if you have the chance?
Save the octopi.
No, I'm not going to even say that. I'm not going to say that he can't eat it if some other fool kills it, but he can't kill it.
Yeah, don't be the one that kills the octopus.
As
a matter of fact, I'd like to see you make an effort to prevent them from killing octopus.
Jeff, will you stand here and be on that platform of anti-killing the octopus on Survivor?
Yes, I will. Save the octopi.
All right, I am with you. Do a little bit of research into that. Why don't you?
Do your research.
I'm correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jeff Varner did keep his word. He never did
eat the octopus. I don't even know if they ever caught one. God knows there was nothing for them to eat over at Angkor.
What just bit my ass?
It was not an octopus. So Deb can be reassured that Jeff was a good friend. And Kimmy, I don't even think, ate an octopus the entire time that she was out there. Maybe in that gross food competition, but I think that that was already dead. And I think that by Deb's own rules, I think that was okay. This is another short one of somebody else that called in. We had a lot of fun with this person who I initially wasn't sold on as somebody that I wanted to see back. And they did come back. And I thought they did bring some fun to the season, but I definitely had a lot of fun when I spoke with Keith Nail in the Survivor Second Chance interview series. And Keith Nail told me about how he lives actually in Keithville. This all took place on May 11th of 2015. All right, one more from Patrick who wants to know, can you explain how you ended up in Keithville, Louisiana? Do you live in Keithville?
I do, Rob. Funny thing about it, I live off Keith Road in Keithville. So, I mean, it's Keith.
Now, did you move there?
Yes, I was in Shreveport, just a little bigger town, but so I kind of got out of Shreveport. I work for the Shreveport Fire Department, but I live in a little town called Keithville, and it's off Keith Road. So that was a pretty slick deal there. I didn't have that planned either.
So that was not a plan that you stuck to?
No, way before me.
You know, you could actually drive by Keith Road and see Keith Nail's tuk-tuk with the Keith Vanity license plates parked along there if you take a tour of Keithville on sort of like the Keithville like tourist bus driving around there if you want to go and check that out at some point down in South L.A. in your free time. So we had a lot of fun with all of the Second Chance interviews. If you go back, they're really fun to go back and listen to, knowing how it all played out. But leading up to the finale, we had a lot of things all coming together. And one of the things that just happened to fall into my lap was Brian Heidick was an interview guest that I had been chasing for quite some time. And he was going to be attending Give Kids the World down in Florida over the summer. And it was definitely an interesting interview with Brian Heidick, which had a kind of unusual ending. So this is me signing off with Brian Heidick, asking him if he was going to be on Twitter and getting an answer that I was not expecting. This is from May 18th of 2015. Brian, I really appreciate you coming on and talking some Survivor with me. It's been way too long since we heard from you. And then let's get the ball rolling on this. We'd love to see you back out there.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for staying in touch, and we'll talk hopefully soon.
Okay, Brian, is there anywhere online? Are you ever going to be on Twitter or anything like that?
You ever heard of the terminology condo paid for, no car payment?
Yes.
Is that on there or not?
On Twitter? I got to look for that.
Okay, great. Welcome to the next level, Rob.
Condo paid for, no car payment, next level.
Stepping you up.
Okay. All right, okay. Brian. Thanks so much, and you keep in touch, okay?
Rob, thank you very much. Have a great summer.
All right. We'll talk soon. All right, okay. Take care, buddy. Bye. I had no idea that Brian Heidick was a fan of the works of Biggie Smalls, but I guess you learn something new here all the time on RHAP. So what we did learn that same week, I think that interview ended up going up the day before the finale or something like that, because then the finale happened. Of course, Mike Holloway won. We found out who was going off to Survivor Second Chance, and we also found out who was not going off to Survivor Second Chance. And we found out that one of the people that we thought was probably going to go back did not, and that was Shane Powers. But what Shane Powers ended up doing was coming here the day after the Survivor finale and talked about his experience and who he thought was going to be really upset about not going back on a podcast that we called The Survivor Funeral of Shane Powers. People voted for, like the mass audience voted for good guys. They voted for all the nice guys.
Okay.
Everybody that gets voted, and anybody that had a little bit of being either a jerk or mean or something like that, all those are the guys that didn't get on.
Is Survivor, is it family entertainment?
I think so. It's 8 o'clock.
It's 8 o'clock.
CBS.
It's white people in Indiana.
Yeah.
It's middle older America. Folks.
Yeah.
So it is family entertainment. So I'm never going to poll well with family entertainment.
Yeah.
I'll poll well better at 11:30.
Yeah. And you played on a season with all really likable people. Like you were there with Suri, you were there with Terry, you were there with Aris. So you were like all like the babyface good guy people. And you were the unsavory character with those people.
I'm so savory to myself. Oh, lovely. I'm a savory man.
Yeah.
How about this? I want to talk about, because here's the thing. I'll talk about people and I have fun because, no. I mean, not right now, but I mean, like when I went on your interview a couple weeks ago, I talk about some people because I'm talking about their persona or what I've seen on social media. That being said, the second you have a heartbeat, like I meet you personally, it's hard for me because I'm not a bad guy.
You met all these people now?
I met all these people yesterday. I mean, I didn't meet them because we didn't get to speak, but I am so bummed for Jim because he's heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like his heart is broken.
I talked to him last night. Yeah.
He is, he's heartbroken. And I don't know how long it's going to take for that guy to get over this. Right. Yeah. And that makes me sad for him. The T-Bird girl, I don't know her, but my heart is broken for her because she wanted it bad. My heart is not broken for me. I bury myself. I put myself in major positions of I don't want any. That's the other thing is that, I'm sorry, Shane. And I hate, don't feel that one person out there should feel sorry for me.
No. Can I ask you a question? I don't really know why you wanted to go back. Like, I feel like a lot of times what I say about Survivor is for people who don't have anything else better going on.
Well, I think, like, or they're in a crossroads in their life.
Yes. Or it's going to be something, but you're a guy,
their career.
Yeah.
Or,
and you're a guy, you've done well. You don't seem like you want for much. Why would you go through this aggravation again?
Because, and I was talking about this with my woman. There is this weird emotional tick now that I have with this show. It's the 12-year-old kid who's like, why can't I get back on, or why don't they want me again? It's a lot of that. I can't believe that. Why do you guys not like me? Why can't I get back on? There's that little 12-year-old kid in me that has that tick going on. And then there is no experience in the world that can replicate it, right? Yeah. It's like a demented vacation with throwing $1 million into the mix to bring out the very worst in human beings.
Yes.
Like, to me, that sounds like an amazing vacation.
Yeah.
Not to my girl, probably not to you.
Right.
To me, it's the tick.
But you also don't like the... we've talked about this, and I think you had a quote on one of the interviews that we did, like the person with the lowest moral code will always win this game.
Correct.
And you don't like that part of the game, correct?
I don't like that part of the game. However, I think that there's a way to play. I think there's a way to play the game and not do that. Like, there's a difference between the game and there's a difference between dirty. And as I get older, it's less and less of a drag that I've ever been on the show. Again, that being said, there's a different, like Tyson, when he won his Blood versus Water, and this is he's a sweet kid. I've met him.
Great guy.
Sweet kid. He played within the realm of what I think is decent. It's the dirty part where the Vlachos and the swearing on your thing. And again, that's what makes the game great. Everyone has a different idea of what's okay and what's acceptable and what isn't, right? That being said, I think there's a way to play the game and not forego your own moral code, and you can win. It's a fascinating endeavor. I am definitely done.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's nothing they could say. There's nothing they could do. This was a really wonderful decade trying to get back on this thing, but I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Exhausted.
Shane Powers really has a lot of gravitas. Like, he can really be very serious about anything, and it makes him always good on the podcast. He does his own radio show, and I know that people have really enjoyed him on that. So always fun to hear from on the podcast. One other thing with Shane Powers before we move on, not that this was one of the best moments of the year, but Shane Powers and I have an interesting conversation about Jeremy before the season happens. And now that he was the winner, pretty interesting to listen to in hindsight. Here's me and Shane in that same podcast talking about Jeremy and his chances. But somebody else who I think could do pretty well is Jeremy. What do you think of that?
I really like that. Yeah. I would really hope that Jeremy would get,
because he's not like one of these guys where it's like, oh, he's like, you got to watch out for that. He's a big challenge beast. You know, you don't worry about him winning all the immunities. And he's also like, he's a smart guy, but he's not like, you know, oh, he's a super strategist that you got to watch out for.
The older I get, also, I'm more about energy.
Yeah.
And I had to sit next to him like they had us lined up. He's a fucking lovely guy.
He's a funny guy.
He's a lovely dude. There's not a weird dark bone in his body. Like, I just would have wanted, like, it's down to you or Jeremy, or it's down to Jeremy and Fishbach. You know what? I just like being around this guy more. He's Fishbach, you're gone. Like, that would have been, no, because he's,
I get it.
A huge deal.
Yeah. No, he's a really, really
three
fun guy.
Three more days of Shane or Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, three more days of Maniac or Jeremy. Like, you know, it's a no brainer.
Yeah.
Nice guy, Jeremy. I kissed him on his noggin.
It's a good take. Good take by me and Shane on Jeremy. Felt like he had a chance to win. Ultimately, Nicole stole my thunder with the Jeremy pick, but I think that I was locked in. Maybe after I talked to everybody, I was locked in. And then over the summer, I got sort of rusty and didn't trust my gut as much that Jeremy was in a good spot to ultimately win the game. But ultimately, those are the breaks. We will do more predictions for Survivor 32 coming up in February, and we'll see if Nicole can keep her streak alive with three consecutive winners of Survivor. So once the dust cleared from all of the Survivor Second Chancers going off to play, we did some interviews with the cast from Survivor 30. I talked with Mike Holloway right after the season ended, and then Rodney was getting ready. He was going to do his Rodney Ball over the summer, raise some money for charity the first weekend in August with his first charity event up in Boston, and to sort of get the bowling ball rolling for his big event. He came on the podcast in June of 2015. And one of the things that we did, we know that Rodney is a man of many impressions, that he gave us some of the Dirty 30 reviews of the Entourage movie, which had come out this summer. Here is Rodney's impressions of the Dirty 30 talking about the Entourage movie from June 20th, 2015. Can you give us some reviews of the Entourage movie as different survivors?
Oh, like compare certain Entourage.
No, can you give how would Max Dawson review the Entourage movie?
Watching Entourage in actually taking in my Survivor knowledge, I'd say yeah, Robbie was, I'd give it a solid A. It was a solid A on that report. I'd have to say that Vinny Chase maybe needed a little more airtime, but Johnny Drama was phenomenal. I mean, it just goes back to Survivor. When I was a little kid, it's all I dreamed about. In forming this Dirty 30 with all my survivors, I feel like, yeah, I feel like I need to watch Entourage with all Dirty 30.
Yeah, they are an Entourage. Great job.
We got Max Dawson down.
Okay, great. Can you give us what's the Dan Foley review of Entourage?
You know, it could have been a little better if a couple of my friends from Maine. Because down in Portland, Maine, every Wednesday, we all partied at Thatcher's, and boy, was it good.
There's
two ways you can think about it, Rob. You can either think like a man, or you can think like a woman. Okay, honey, you're right.
Wow. What about Will Sims? Will, can you use the Will review?
There ain't enough black people in that show, Jeff. You got to have a little more color in there, baby. If you don't have a little brothers in there, come on, Jeff. If you don't even go to the Entourage movie screening, then your ass is going to get voted out on next trip.
It's a good, hey, that's a good point, Will. First time Will's making some sense, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I could ask Sierra too. Like, absolutely, Jeff. I feel like I was strong in challenges. I feel like my experience riding my horses would take me to the final trouble. I think everything I did in the game was phenomenal. I think everything that everybody does in the world, I love it. I'm Sierra. Everybody loves me.
I love you, Sierra.
What about Carolyn? What would Carolyn's review be?
Yeah, baby. Mama say, mama do. You want rewards, you got to earn them, baby.
All right, what about Mike?
Dude, I mean, it took a long time for us to get out of the game, but dude, I'm glad that we're really friends. We're really close right now, you know? Because I love you. Coming in party August 1st. Y'all better sign up. www.rodneybone.com.eventbrite. Y'all better be there. Gonna have the time of y'all life. I promise.
There you go.
Boston Hot Rod.
So we're into the summer of 2015, and of course that means that we talked a lot about Big Brother over the course of the summer, and we had a lot of fun with our live feed correspondents this season with Alex and Brent and Tarrant doing a live recap after every single episode. I believe there was 40 episodes of Big Brother this summer, plus we did voicemail shows and exit interviews. So we covered a lot of Big Brother over the course of the summer, and there's plenty of moments to choose from, but probably the most iconic moment of our Big Brother coverage over the summer had to have come on September 3rd, 2015, and that was the night of the second Big Brother double eviction, and I was besides myself after Steve and Johnny Mac had the opportunity to take out one of the Aust twins. Instead, they decided to vote out Meg and go a different direction. And I couldn't believe what they did, because then on top of that, James got voted out that night. And I really did not understand anything that was going on. History was not on my side, but that did not stop me from being especially worked up as I discussed the events as they had unfolded earlier in that double eviction, as I spoke with Brent Wolgamott live on September 3rd, 2015.
And they're not in a bad position.
All right, how about this? All right. And yes, you're right. You're right about this. Okay. Here's what's the frustrating thing is that the outcome of this season will be that either, and this tonight confirmed this, the winner of this season will be either Vanessa, Austin, Liz, or Julia. And there is no chance that Johnny Mac or Steve will win this season.
I don't know that I can co-sign that. I really don't. They're looking at Johnny Mac as someone that they can take forward in the game, and he has a lot of friends on the jury, and he's not somebody who is completely comp terrible.
Because these guys, to me, all three of these guys, and even James, we thought that, oh, James is the comp beast. James isn't right. Going to lay down and die. I feel like I saw all three of those guys lay down and die, and that we are headed, they're the next two people out of the house, and we're going to see a final four with Vanessa and the Aust twins. And the thing I'm hoping at this point to hang my hat on is that maybe the twins evict Austin at some point. That's, I feel like, the only place I might find salvation in this season. Tell me I'm wrong. Hold on. I want to be wrong, but I can't look at Johnny Mac or Steve and feel like that these guys have any sort of intestinal fortitude that they're going to be able to pull this thing out now with their backs against the wall.
I don't think the situation is as dire as you make it believe. I can't tell you that it's not going to be what you fear that it's going to be, but I do think that they were going into a situation where, on one hand, so I'll just take Steve. Let's just talk about Steve, then we can talk about Johnny Mac. But ultimately, they had to make an agreement together, and if one of them wasn't going to do it, the other one was going to jump too. Steve knew going into tonight that there was no way that he would be evicted if he didn't backstab Austin and the twins. He can make it to next week, and I think that's something to hang your hat on. I mean, he knew he was in a safe position. He's always of the opinion that you shouldn't have to be able to win a comp in order to survive. and he didn't have to win a comp tonight. No matter what happened tonight, Steve was safe. So going into, I don't understand why you're so convinced.
Because
it's going to be,
I feel like I have seen the true Johnny Mac and the true Steve, and neither of them have any guts. And I don't think that they have it in them. I don't think that they have the backbone, either of those two. They're nice guys, and we're rooting for them. But I think we're rooting for people that are not going to be able to pull this off, because I don't think that they have the guts to do it. I don't think that they have it in them. I feel like I've seen these guys, and I hate to, I don't want to use this word because it's unflattering. But I feel like they're losers, and I and they're endearing, and I'm rooting for them more than the other people in the house. But I feel like I've seen winners over the course of this reality TV last 15 years. And I feel like I've seen the people that have it in them to win these things, that have the grit and the determination to win. And I don't see that in Johnny Mac and Steve. And I feel like they're both going to lay down and die and take this, just like I saw it in James tonight. And it's frustrating. Now, of course, people really like that clip in the moment. People do like it when I get fired up sometimes, especially the people that disagreed with me, because they got to see how much of an idiot I am and just how wrong I got it. Of course, Steve does go on to win Big Brother 17, and the clip becomes that much more funny as I am dead wrong once again in my predictions. But I was so worked up that night. I really was. I really felt like those guys really just made a terrible move. But what do I know, especially when it comes to Big Brother? Okay, so before we get into our next clip from the show, I want to play you a quick promo about Podcast One and how to hear more about your favorite shows that you can hear on our podcast network, podcastone.com.
Guess what?
What?
It's really easy to stay up to date on everything that happens on this and all your favorite Podcast One shows.
Nice!
Just follow us at Podcast One on Twitter. Or you can see what we're up to firsthand on Facebook and Instagram. New show releases, special guests, crazy stuff, and everything you want or need to know. At Podcast One. Oh yeah, and make sure you slide over to iTunes and subscribe to this show ASAP. That way you get them delivered to you as soon as they hit the shelves.
Okay.
And of course, you can always get all the scoop you need at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
All right, so next up in our look back at 2015, let's revisit something that happened on the podcast back in October as we were covering this Survivor Second Chance season. Now, this season, I had a bunch of different guests with us here on the podcast because I was really concerned about people who were spoiled, people who had close friends or relatives or loved ones that were on this season. I didn't want to talk to a lot of the people that we normally hear from during the Survivor season. So I sort of went outside the box with some of the Survivor guests. And there is probably nobody who is more outside the box than Randy Bailey, who joined me back on the podcast for the first time in about 2 years to talk about the Survivor season. And we had a really nice conversation. I thought things had really gone well up until a certain point. Here is the end of my conversation with Randy Bailey after episode 4 of Survivor Cambodia on October 15th, 2015. This is so much fun, Randy. I have somebody in the audience. His name is, he's on Twitter. He's at Shut Up Tim. He makes all sorts of music for the show, and he recorded two different Randy songs. I would love to see which one you prefer to be the outro for this podcast.
My only fan, I think.
Yes. Okay. You ready for this? This is from Shut Up Tim. Okay. Here's the first
song about me. Sure. I'll listen.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Oh, Randy, well, you were on Survivor Heroes and Villains, but they sent you away. Oh, Randy, Bob gave you that fake idol you shouldn't have taken, but I'm glad you're here today. Oh, Randy.
Barry Manilow, right?
Yeah. You know, Rob, we've had a good, you know, couple hours discussion. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, what the f- is this guy just remembering me about the fake idol? if you remember, you know, this offends me. I don't know if this guy is really a fan or what.
No, he makes these songs for everybody that that comes on.
Don't feed me that shit. If you know, I made a fish hook in Gabon out of my glasses and actually caught fish.
Yeah.
In the water polo challenge, I scored all three goals.
Yes.
To win immunity. I caught fruit, you know, and all he's going to bring up is you know, that I'm pissed off, Rob.
Well, I think it was just that for the song to work, I think that was just an example.
You know, whatever.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. I will retire it. We don't have to have any sort of closing music for the podcast.
Yeah, well, we've had a good discussion, but you know what? That sucked.
All right. Well,
Tim can, like all three of the finalists in Gabon, Tim can kiss my ass.
All right. So, Tim, we won't bother with any more songs for Randy moving forward when we do these shows next time.
Yeah, that was, if we do another show, God damn it.
Okay. All right. Well, forget about that. Randy, this was so much fun. All right.
Okay. Well, Rob, You said there was two songs. Is this from another fan or is it the same one?
It was the same guy. He made another song, but I don't even want to bother with it because that you didn't
Let's hear it. Just, you know, I hate to end on a sour note for that first song. Let me hear the second one.
I don't even think, you know what, let's just leave well enough alone and not even get into any more sound clips. I have sound clips about all of the other players from the season. Do you want to hear any of the other songs?
Play the song.
Yeah. I really just think that we should maybe skip it and just, you know, go out with, you know, feeling good, hashtag swimming upstream. And, you know, this was a great podcast with you, Randy.
It couldn't be worse than the first one. Just play it. Okay. Please.
All right. You're sure you want to hear this?
I have to hear it. I mean, it's, yeah, play the song.
Okay.
The survivors say, Randy, you gave your cookies to sugar that one time. And you're more of an elusive guest than Eric Stein.
God damn it, Rob.
Yeah. You,
the cookie thing. Why do people keep bringing that up? I mean, you think that's funny, don't you? Your fans think, your listeners think it's funny. Why the fucking don't?
Yeah.
You know, and this Eric Stein guy, he was on like Big Brother or something. He wasn't even a real player. He was like America's player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this. I'm out of here.
But Randy, hold on. Hold, wait, no, it. Randy? Randy, are you there? Things were going so well. Yeah, that was unfortunate. That was really unfortunate how that had ultimately gone down. But hopefully Randy is in better spirits. I know for a fact that Randy was recording with Amy and Haley on the Bachelor season preview podcast. Randy loves The Bachelor. Him and Kelly Wentworth were part of a Bachelor draft that Amy and Haley were doing. You could hear that on reality TV Rehap Ups on robhasawebsite.com or on the Rehap app. So hopefully if you're a Bachelor fan or a Randy and Kelly fan, that you may want to check that out. And I am hoping to have Randy back with us again on the podcast sometime soon in 2016. So keep your ears peeled for a upcoming Randy cast again. Then let's go to one of my favorite podcasts of the year. People said that it was maybe one of the best podcasts that we ever did. We were very lucky to get Boston Rob back on the podcast for the first time as well in about 2 years, back earlier this month when he talked about the final 7 episode of Survivor Cambodia. And Boston Rob joined me right after the episode that night. I had done Survivor Know-It-Alls, and then I spoke with Boston Rob back on December 9th, 2015. And Boston Rob really went deep and started to talk about the philosophy and the psychology behind playing Survivor and what it takes to really exert your will on these other players out there. So here is Boston Rob talking about how he does what he does on Survivor, December 9th, 2015.
Do you sort of look at it like the new players have it easier, or in some ways is it harder than when we first initially played the game?
I don't think it's easy. I think it's different. It's different in the respect that when we originally played, it was more about an adventure. It was more about, you know, leaving your world for 6 weeks, going on an island, creating this society, and playing a game. Although in the beginning, only a few of us were able to really, you know, figure out that it was a strategic game, right? And those are the ones that did well, were the ones that were able to figure that out from the outset. You obviously one of them. Now, everybody's a strategist. I mean, the game's been played 30 times. You don't see glaring mistakes anymore, usually. For the most part, the framework's been written and people know how to play the game from a strategic point of view. But more than anything else, the game has shifted from being an adventure to a social experiment. It's more of a social game in how you deal and interact with people than it's ever been before. And that was evident for me, you know, from going from season four to season 22. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was night and day different. You had to manage people. You have to create these relationships. And I use the term a few times in this interview, perceived reality, because your reality, it's not like it is your reality at the moment, but the game is based so much more on the people you're playing with and how they actually perceive you, you know? So their reality, you have to be able to see things through the eyes of everybody. It's like, I don't know if it was Descartes or Immanuel Kant, the philosopher that said, I am not who I am. I am who you think I am, you know? And that's like pretty profound, but it's true. In Survivor, it's not who I think I am. It's not even who you think I am. It's who I think that you think I think I am, you know? Take a minute and think about that from like, I'm being serious, from a strategic point of view, it makes perfect sense. So you have to really get into somebody's head on what they're saying and try to digest it more so now than you ever had to do before. In season four, if somebody said, I'm voting for this one, they were probably voting for that person, or they weren't voting for that person. But it wasn't like, is he telling me that he's voting for this person because he wants me to think something else? And you have to see it through their eyes of what would be beneficial for them.
Is there anything that you could talk about in how do you do that? And it makes all the sense in the world, what you're saying, but how do you put it into practice?
It's a gift, buddy. It's a gift.
Do you have to know that before you get to the island, how to do that?
I don't know if it can be taught. I'm not kidding. Like you have to be able to read people, you know? Okay. So the stuff they can teach you, like the basic psychology stuff, would be like stuff like physical tells and, you know, watching people's body language, because their body language actually gives off more than what they're saying. Watch what they're doing and how they react to certain situations. Okay, that's on a simple, regular level. But if you're talking to somebody else that also knows what you know or that also understands this, you have to then figure out if they're telling you this because that's what their intention is, or if they're telling you this because they want you to think otherwise. Someone like Parvati, who really gets that part of the game, you have to be careful, because she's very good at that. Like, I've played with her and I know her, and you know, she understands, she gets it.
Really great stuff from Boston Rob. I got so much positive feedback from you guys, which is always fun to hear, about how much you guys enjoyed that Boston Rob interview. And I really did appreciate that he took the time to go to such great lengths to talk about those things that he's learned from his four times of playing the game. And even for somebody who talks about the stuff all the time and has played the game twice, it's always really interesting to hear that kind of stuff. So I do really love hearing those interviews from the people who are the real greats at the game. when they go there with me. And it's not always the case, but it's so much fun for me personally when we get to do that stuff. And I always love to do those deep dive interviews with these Survivor players who can really talk about their experience. And there's always something new that we end up learning about how the game is played and sort of how people are able to do what they're able to do on the island. So the day after I talked to Boston Rob, we were on a real hot streak. Got one more clip for you. This was from my voicemails with Mike Bloom again. And we were talking about the way that Spencer so quickly solved a 5-piece puzzle, which was left over from Survivor 30. And this was a very funny moment from the voicemail show from that day. This is Mike Bloom and I talking about the potential return of the 5-piece puzzle on December 10th, 2015.
Hey, Rob, Dylan from Alberta calling. That 5-piece puzzle we saw, it didn't even get past the schoolyard pick its first season and didn't get very far this season. However, Propes loves it, and maybe it's got some surprising depth behind it. So do you think it will make it into Survivor? Third time's a charm? Thanks.
Okay. Could the puzzle... What do you think of the story of the puzzle? Okay. It was like Wanda and Jonathan the first time around. And then the second time around, it was like, it was out so quick. But do you think, could the puzzle have life a third time around?
I want to have a Survivor season where it's all new players, but two tribes led by Francesca and the puzzle. And Francesca still gets voted off first.
Well, I mean, the puzzle is going to be, you know, you definitely want to take that. That's a great goat, the puzzle.
And you can lean on it for support. You can build the shelter out of the puzzle. So I feel like the puzzle has a lot of use around camp.
Yeah. Who's the loved one for the puzzle? The 10-piece puzzle?
Yeah, exactly. Or no, the 10-piece puzzle couldn't come out. So the 25-piece puzzle comes out and says, 10-piece puzzle got taken. 50. When it got taken apart, dude. I just thought my 10-piece would make it.
Has it get medevac because it loses one of the pieces?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Or someone gets medevac for getting a splinter in one of those challenges where you have to wrestle each other. I can't believe we got to the point where we're talking about a sentient puzzle competing on Survivor. Hold on.
Or would the loved one for the puzzle be Spencer?
I could solve you in 5 seconds. You're mine now. I love you.
Puzzle, let's bring out your loved one, Spencer. And then there could be a whole storyline about how Spencer never told the puzzle, I'll solve you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they'll finally admit it to each other right there on the field, and tears will be streaming down everyone's faces.
Oh, snap.
Oh, Jigsaw. And then the puzzle wins. We hear Jeff say, unbelievable. The first time in Survivor history, an inanimate object has won the $1 million check. It's a mockery to the game of Survivor. Good night, everyone. We are not coming back.
What a nerd. Such a nerd.
So the puzzle runs out to the audience, and Spencer just starts solving it in love.
The puzzle have like a winner montage, and then like at the finale, like, and the winner of Survivor. What's the name of the season?
Oh, God. It's got to be called, I don't know, First out, last out, question mark.
Like, how did this happen? It was just a 5-piece puzzle that was solved in 10 seconds and somehow has come back and won the game on a third time.
We thought this was a joke, but literally the impossible has become possible.
We'll hear from the puzzle. We'll talk to Spencer, and Francesca's here too. Stick around. For the final Survivor reunion show of all time.
And we're canceled.
All right. Too much time on the puzzle. Okay. Let's
Spencer would have spent like 5 seconds on that segment.
Yeah, Spencer would have gotten through that much quicker. Okay. I can't wait for Francesca versus the puzzle season. That is going to be truly a epic season of Survivor. And it was an epic year in 2015 on Rob Has a Podcast. I had so much fun with you guys. I mean, we probably did. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but somewhere probably in the neighborhood of like 250 to 300 podcasts here on RHAP. It was never boring. It was always fun. And I really do want to thank you guys for listening to this show and allowing me to do this professionally, because it is really a passion for me to be able to get to do this stuff. Thanks so much to everybody who also supported us either as a patron or by using our links for Amazon.com or by supporting the sponsors of this podcast. Greatly do appreciate all of that. We've got a lot of fun stuff coming up here in the Survivor offseason. Just to give you a little sneak peek into what we're going to talk about next week, going to do some coverage of the premiere of The Biggest Loser. Of course, many of you guys know that Richard Hatch is in the cast of The Biggest Loser this season. So we are going to bring you at least some premiere coverage of that. And maybe if it turns out to be something that I am very interested in talking about more, maybe we'll do some additional coverage on that. I mentioned a couple times that Amy and Haley are going to be back for the start of the Bachelor coverage. They're going to be on with me next week as well to talk about why people should be checking out this new season of The Bachelor as they kick off their coverage of The Bachelor on reality TV wrap-ups. We're also going to be doing a fun football-related podcast where we're going to talk about NFL quarterbacks potentially playing Survivor, as I am going to prognosticate what a season of NFL quarterbacks playing Survivor as sort of a playoff preview. And we're not just going to use the quarterbacks from the playoffs, but Kiva Winokur and Jordan Parhar and I are going to have a fun NFL-related podcast of drafting a Survivor season and playing it out with all NFL quarterbacks. And finally, the coup de grace on what should be a fun week, the first week of 2016. Stephen Fishback will join us to do a deep dive into his Survivor season. And I will be talking with Stephen about everything from his season and catching up with him. And I'm very much looking forward to that. Got to have dinner with Stephen one night last week. So very excited to get back on a podcast with him and talk about everything from his game and the things that he hasn't gotten to talk about with us yet on the podcast. So looking forward to what should be a great start to 2016. Hope everybody had a very nice holiday again and a very safe New Year's. Thanks so much for sticking around and listening to this clip show. It does mean a lot to me. If you want to let me know you got to the end of this podcast, use the hashtag Rahappy New Year. Let me know on Twitter. And of course, I never get tired of hearing from you guys on social media. It does really help inform me on what direction to go with what I'm doing. So never feel like your voice doesn't matter in what I'm doing on this podcast. Looking forward to reading your comments on robhasawebsite.com. And until we meet again in 2016, have a good one, everybody. Take care. Happy New Year. Bye.